on.
Introducing
Pretty Girls Love Real Estate. Stories of everyday women breaking barriers and building wealth through real estate.
Let's get it.
Boss. B-O-S-S.
Hello, hello. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Pretty Girls Love Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Washington, and I'm super excited for my special guest today. I have Sonya Rockville in the building. She's from New York City, and she is an apartment syndicator. And so we'll dive into a little bit more about what that means, but she primarily, her and her team primarily purchase large apartment complexes in the Atlanta market. So I'm excited to talk to her. So how you doing, Sonya? How are you?
I'm doing well, Jessica. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. You're like a superstar. I didn't heard you on the podcast circuit, a couple of different places before this. So I definitely had to have you on the show to come on and talk because you've definitely got a really unique perspective. So I'm excited. Thank you once again for taking the time to do this.
Absolutely. No, and I really welcome the invitation. I'm glad to be able to sit down and talk with you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. So first and foremost, how did you get interested in real estate?
So, I'm in New York City. So I grew up in New York, always surrounded by buildings. And especially when you're in such a dense area in New York, you see buildings all the time, but sometimes you see them all over and you're just not even aware. You don't even really realize that you're just surrounded by everything, which is real estate. Mm-hmm. So, and we take it for granted sometimes, but I never really thought about commercial real estate. I really thought that, real estate was just, buying a house or having a house. And it wasn't until my road and my career path in accounting and finance did I really start to like think about commercial real estate or property ownership, larger property ownership. And the more research I did and meeting people and joining groups, it really presented an opportunity for me to pivot. It was just something that really had sparked my interest from when I was younger. And then as I started getting further into my career and I started thinking more broadly about what I wanted to do or what other things I wanted to do, that's when I just got even more involved in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So even before you ventured out on your own, you had an illustrious career as an accountant. So can you talk a little bit about that experience and how all those experiences kind of help you on your path to becoming your own business owner?
Sure, thanks. Well, I never really thought about having my own business. I was fascinated by real estate when I was younger, but I was also interested in just how businesses worked. Mm-hmm. So I remember one of my earliest mentors was from my church. And he was an accountant, and I was telling him how I was trying to figure out what I should major in or what I should do. And he said, "You know what, Sonya, major in accounting. It's the language of business. You'll understand all businesses just if you major in it." So I took his advice, and that's what I did. And I majored in accounting undergrad, and I started to work at a CPA firm, which is now equivalent to like a Big Four firm. And but while I was there, I knew that I didn't want to be a partner. That was one thing I just knew. I didn't want to be a partner. So I left and I joined a financial services company, and I spent most of my career there. And I met great people. I had a lot of great projects and I worked on a lot of really good things. But as the years went by, I was just finding it harder to determine, where my path and career was going within the company. I just really wasn't sure. And so, when I was mentioning before that, rekindling of real estate, I started, taking these one day workshops in real estate, just these one-off courses just to understand more. I was reading books on my commute on the subway. And then I started to look online to find real estate organizations. And I found the Real Estate Investment Association in New York City, REIA, in New York City. And I learned so much from there. And then, shortly after that, my entire group at the company, including myself, we were laid off because of changes that were happening in the company. And, you know, I really thought that this was an opportunity and I had a chance to try something else. And I thought, you know, maybe all the books on the subway ride and, you know, the experiences I had were when I was younger were just like planting the seeds for me to make this pivot. So, you know, I had a lot of conversations with my family and my husband, and I was like, you know what, they encouraged me and they were like, do it. So that's when I just started jumping in and consuming all things real estate, as I sometimes say. And I found Project Reap, of which we're both alums. Mm-hmm. And that was a really good foundation for me because I got into Project Reap right after, you know, my last days at the financial services company. And it was such a great transition to be able to start something right away after I was leaving there. Mm-hmm. And then I found a multifamily investment group that also really helped me make my move. So REAP helped to give me a really great foundation and confidence to say, you know what, multifamily is pretty interesting. And then the multifamily group helped me put those things into practice. So I started investing passively, which means that I started investing in other people's deals, other people's multifamily deals first. And what that did is it just allowed me to build some credibility with, with my soon to be investors and brokers as I started talking to different people about deals in the markets that I was interested in. And then I found a joint venture partner in that group. It was a good fit for us to work together. And we decided to look for deals together. And then we syndicated our first deal together. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. It's so crazy how that's a bunch of people on this show that I've had before that were thinking about real estate in whatever capacity, but they had a job and then they got laid off. So it was like that like little push to the edge that they really needed to jump out on their own. And it was great how all your stars aligned because you already had REAP in place and you already had been attending the RIA meeting. So
yeah,
it was like the natural next step to take. So
yeah, it was, I think I really like what you said about the stars being aligned. It was like, you know, the pathway was just being put forth and I didn't even realize it, you know, at mm-hmm. the time. And so I think it was a blessing. For sure.
Okay. So after you were investing passively in some deals before, what kind of made you step out and be like, okay, I can now do this. I can be the quarterback. I can be the point person on this type of project.
Right. Well, when I was passively investing in the deals, you know, I was using it as an opportunity to learn. Mm-hmm. So it was helping me to learn about different markets. It was helping me to learn about, you know, how people managed some of the deals or what types of deals and understanding different types of strategies that they were using for these different deals. So it really just gave me some additional information. And then it also was helping to build my resume, you know, as an investor, so that when I spoke to commercial real estate brokers, and you know, they're very good at identifying the newbies in there, and you know, they're like, okay, so tell me a little bit about your background. So then I was able to tell them, well, I'm passively investing in, or I'm a limited partner in, you know, these deals. And so I was like, okay, so you know, it just kind of gave a little bit more credibility in mm-hmm. in terms of my my background, and that I had some familiarity with multifamily, and right. So with that that just helped me. It helped me, and it also helped from when relationships when I was talking to my investors as well, because it showed them also that I was also building my new resume in a way as a real estate investor.
Okay. So also, you know, we always talk about on this show, being a woman of color, especially in commercial real estate, especially in New York market, it's, you know, really family oriented world. There's a lot of nepotism. Obviously there's a issue with diversity in the space. Now you being an apartment syndicator, being the primary sponsor on multi-million dollar deals, kind of how has that experience been with, you know, dealing with other brokers, dealing with people that don't know you and don't have the experience? It's like, all right, who's this Black lady out here trying to really kill the game?
It's funny because a lot of it is just making sure that you get in the room. You know, so much of it is about, you know, showing up and just, you know, people realizing that, okay, this person is here and doesn't seem like they're going away. So, I'm going to work with them. And especially once you start closing your first deal and they know that you've closed deals before, it's a little bit easier to build credibility, just like, you know, having the passive investment was a road to that path of, you know, I'm somebody who is invested in multifamily and, you know, this is what I'm looking to do. So it's definitely you know, a game that's not all the time, that's not open all the time for everybody. And a lot of information is not really readily available. But, you know, what I found is having a good network really helps, and being connected here in New York, really, to people who were investing outside of New York, which was a strategy that I wanted to do because I knew for New York, really deep pockets for New York. So, are needed. So I'm not ready yet, but maybe someday soon. but what it had me do was look at other markets that I thought could be really good for our investors. And that's what we found. That's what we found in Atlanta at that time.
Okay, so can you walk me through the process of the first deal when you kind of went out on your own? If you can, as much as you can, talk about the economics, how you found the actual deal, you know, how you raised money from the sponsors, and just everything from getting the deal to the closing table.
Yeah. So I was mentioning that I met my joint venture partner in the multifamily investing group. And one of the things that you know, clicked for both of us, she was also a woman, is that, you know, we were both interested in the Atlanta market. She had been looking at deals there, and so had I. And because we were part of the multifamily investment group, this was a deal that one of the leaders of the group, it was actually, you know, because of he was growing his business and looking at larger size properties, it was actually a deal that he thought, you know, this could be interesting. He didn't really know much about it, but he knew the brokers. And he said, you know what, you guys are looking at this market. Why don't you take a look at this deal? So we underwrote it. It was a 48 unit. And it was actually in a niche area in Atlanta. It is an area where there is a high concentration of refugees. And actually that made it pretty advantageous. So there, you know, people who are here legally, but they fled their countries for, you know, various reasons, a lot of them political, and they were very happy to be here in the U.S. And, you know, we knew that we were going to provide clean and safe homes for them to live. So I remember, you know, getting on the plane, we did our due diligence. We, you know, had our property management team that we had hired come out to meet with us and to also walk the property. They were also very familiar with that area. They invested very heavily in that area as well. So it was good to have a member of our team who was very familiar with our customer base, because that's essentially what our residents are. And so once we reviewed all of the numbers, we did our inspection to try to identify what were, and if there was anything that we were missing in terms of larger capital expenses. And, you know, during that whole process, we were laying out our plan. And it was also a bit challenging because at that time in 2014, Atlanta was just getting out of the recession from several years before. Mm-hmm. And it was actually challenging to find a bank that would lend to us. First, even though we did have I had that resume of the limited partner, you know, investments, I hadn't done a full investment on my own yet. Mm-hmm. But my partner, she had one property that she had, one multifamily. She had done a few fix and flips, but multifamily that she had done and full cycled. So that helped for us. And so, you know, with all of that, and, you know, again, just talking and meeting people, we found a broker that was able to help us get a lender on board. And you know, we were at the same time, I was talking to people, my friends and family, about raising money for this deal. And it's really challenging, because at first I felt like we were just asking people for money. Like, you know, we were going around asking people for money, but really I had to shift the way I was thinking about it. And, you know, I had a lot of people who helped me think through that. It was more of like, you're not really asking people for money. You're offering them an opportunity, and there it's an opportunity for them to make money. Mm-hmm. So that really helped me in thinking about it. And, you know, and I really felt strongly about the deal. So it was easy for me to talk about it, to talk through it, to talk about our assumptions. We tried to be very conservative. As an accountant, I'm usually guilty of that. And, you know, we got people that were interested, and then it was the time to close. We were getting close to close, and we hadn't raised all of the money that we wanted to for the deal. So when you have your deal, you have to raise the, you know, you're borrowing some of the money. So the seller is going to get, you know, the proceeds from the bank, but then you also have to bring equity to the table. And that's what we were raising. But some of that equity is not just, you know, the amount that you owe on the purchase price, but it's also your, you know, some of your closing costs. It's mm-hmm. also some of your CapEx costs if you're going to be doing any projects or any work to improve the building or to the property or to make it better, to add value. Right. So at it was getting close to closing. We just had enough money to close. And that was it. Like, we didn't have the rest of the money that we needed to do the capital improvements. So that is not an ideal situation, but it happens. And we were just happy that, okay, like, we have the money to close. And then we did get the money shortly afterwards, but it, and you know, we knew we would. It was just that it's just so much easier when you have it all done at first. But hey, this was our first deal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the property continued to, it performed very well. It actually exceeded our expectations while we were holding it. The property managers that we had, like I mentioned, they knew the resident base very well. And this group of residents, they didn't really, what we also found was that there was a really good ecosystem around them. So there was a lot of support for the refugee community, just helping with learning English, job training. So people, you know, they had jobs, they were hardworking, and, they essentially paid very well on time. So we didn't really have a lot of delinquencies. So the property performed better than we thought it did. And we also didn't have a lot of turn. Like, people kind of stayed put. If they were happy, they just pretty much stayed put until, like, maybe something else happened, like they were able to buy a home or something else like that. So, you know, we were very happy that we were able to do well during the hold. And then, you know, was one of the things that we always do is we keep in touch with the brokers throughout the project to just understand, you know, what's happening in the market. What, you know, if there are people who are interested, and we actually, they had a buyer who was interested in buying more in that area, and made an offer to us, and we were going to move forward with it. And we were excited because it was going to be a good return for our investors, and it was earlier than we had expected to exit. And then there a resident had an issue in their apartment. They left a candle on and there was a fire. And yeah, and we stopped everything. We could not, we did not move forward with signing the contract. We stopped working on the sale. We had to, rethink everything in terms of how to manage the property. And our first thought was like, okay, is everybody safe? And thankfully, they were, everybody was safe. Some people had to be relocated, to a hospital just to, to a hotel, because they couldn't live there as we did the repairs. And, we worked very closely with our property manager and, we got different types of feedback, but basically what we did is, when we worked through with insurance, we really put, every dollar that we got from insurance back into the property to restore it to the number of units were affected. And the main unit was really, really a disaster. And we, we were able to restore it. And then, in talking with my JV partner at the time, we thought, what if we just did a little bit more, not just make it exactly what it was, but what if we upgraded some of the features a bit and we put in like two-tone paint and, we just thought about how to make it pop a little more. And in doing that, we found that we were able to get actually higher rent. There was demand for nicer looking units. Mm-hmm. So we did that for a couple of the units and we used some of that capital money that we had, raised initially that we were going to do some of our projects. We used some of that to supplement what we had gotten from the insurance company to upgrade some of the units. The buyer was still interested and we actually ended up selling it to the same initial buyer at a higher price. Because we proved the value, we proved that it was worth more. Because with the update in the units, you could get more rent. So I guess that was a longer story, but
that was amazing. you went through all of that on your first deal.
Yeah.
How long after you had already owned it did the fire take place?
So it was about like 2 years. It was about 2 years into it because we held the property for just over 2 years. So we sold it 5 years earlier than we expected. And we far exceeded the expectations that we had projected. So that was actually one of my proudest moments because it felt really good to deliver for the people that believed in us, especially on that first deal, and that we were able to do so well, on that first deal. So that was, I hope it's not a unicorn deal, but that was another instance where there were a lot of moving pieces that worked out really well for us to do so well on that.
Okay, and I forgot to do this. Let's take a step back really quick. Like, I feel somebody that never heard this term before, can you explain what an apartment syndicator is, what you actually do? And then, like, if somebody was interested in kind of following your footsteps, what are some of the skills that they would need and just maybe some steps that they would take to do the same process that you're talking about?
Right. Okay. Well, syndication in real estate is really of the process. It's of pulling together money from investors to acquire a property. Mm-hmm. And so, in my business model, we're focused on, acquisitions of multifamily apartment buildings. So just to give a high level overview, once we identify a property, we find the property, then we're doing an analysis or an underwriting and making an offer. That offer, if it's going down the path of acquisition, gets accepted. Then you're doing your due diligence and you're also arranging for financing. So basically, you're on one end, you're pulling together people who want to buy the property, and where the way we do it, it's a direct investment into the property and it's on a deal by deal basis. It's not like a fund or anything. Yeah. It's just specifically for a specific property that we're able to show this is the property and these are all the components of the property, the where it's located, all of that. It's just specific for each property. And then you know, we're taking on the role then of a sponsor. You know, we are then the deal sponsor, and we're the ones dealing directly with the bank. Our investors are you know, not on the loan or anything like that. They're investing directly into the property. And that's you know, like an overview of what we're doing throughout the time, but we're the ones finding the property and as I mentioned, doing the due diligence and finding the banks that will provide the best financial terms so that we can get the best loan terms for the mm-hmm. deal. And then we're also setting the strategy. And then as an operator or asset manager, we're also working closely with property management. So since I'm here in New York, you know, we have to have an on the ground team to manage the day to day of what's mm-hmm. happening in the building. So we're doing that as well.
Okay, awesome. So it's a lot of moving parts, but certainly worth it, and certainly a great learning experience on that first deal with so much that went on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me shift gears here, because besides, you know, having your own firm, you're I would consider a very heavy hitter in the New York commercial real estate world, and you're a part of a couple of organizations that are really trying to get more diversity, just encourage more of diversity in that market, and then just kind of advocate for people that want to get into the world of commercial real estate. So one that we worked on together is with CURE,
yes.
Council of Urban Real Estate in NYC. You're a board member. And then also you are part of the Diversity in Commercial Real Estate Conference, which was amazing. Yeah. So can you just talk about your experience with that, those two organizations so far?
Sure. Yeah. So, So the Council of Urban Real Estate, we actually, as an organization, are celebrating our 30th anniversary in 2020. And so, you know, we're part of a legacy of that organization, been so impactful to many commercial real estate professionals, and it was really crucial in my career in transition to commercial real estate, because as I was working in commercial real estate, I was actually doing, you know, my investing and work outside of New York, so I actually didn't really know a lot of people here in New York. I wasn't working with a lot of New Yorkers other than my investors. You know, I wasn't really working with a lot of commercial real estate professionals. And so it was a great opportunity. I was asked by a fellow Project REAP alum and the president at the time, who asked me to join the organization as a treasurer. And I'm so glad I did, because I was able to join the group, and I've met some of the best and brightest minds in commercial real estate. I had an opportunity to work with great people like yourself along the way, and you know, that the passion that the people on the board, you know, have really, and their dedication really inspires me. It really mm-hmm. inspires me. And so so most of our events have been in person. We had a lot in person prior to COVID. Right. You know, we had a lot of like in person events, and that was great to just be able to meet people, to connect people. That mm-hmm. that's a very important part, because it's this industry is so relationship driven, and trying to find people that you know, that you can work with, and that you trust to work with is really important. So I find that we're helping to connect people, and even this year we had to shift everything online, and it's actually really interesting. We ended up doing a lot more programming, because we didn't have to worry about finding actual space to have
less overhead for those
venues. Exactly, we could have Zoom meetings, and it was great. And we were starting to get a lot of reach as well. You know, people not only in New York but outside of New York as mm-hmm. well. And you know, just delivering really great content from really prominent people in our collective networks. So mm-hmm. that was really great. And then for Diversity in Commercial Real Estate, DCRE was founded by an amazing woman in real estate. Her name is Adeola Adejobi. And I actually met Adeola in Project Reap. We were part of the same class. We graduated together. Mm-hmm. And she's also been a strong advocate of diversity. And, you know, when she created the conference in 2019, of course, you know, we were all in person, and she really just envisioned pulling people together, diverse professionals from all fields together to help to, you know, have people connect and meet each other and grow their networks and to learn from each other. And it's really the largest conference of its kind in the U.S. And because of the pandemic, the conference shifted online this year, but it was a great success. And the first year I was a moderator, this year, 2020, I was a speaker, and that was also an incredible experience. And I think both of these organizations have really, when I think about CURE, I thought about, okay, great, I'll be volunteering at this and I'll be able to help the organization. And I didn't think about how much it was also going to help me too as a professional grow. And right. I feel the same about DCRE as well, just being in a situation where you get to interact with really, really heavy hitters in the New York commercial real estate sphere, and to share the stage with some of them. And that was also a really, really great exposure. And, and also it allowed me to be able to help other people too. So
yeah. No, I definitely say that both of those events, both of the organizations are doing great things in the world of commercial real estate for us. Like you mentioned, it's a place for us to meet and greet and share our experiences. It's a safe space to, you know, kind of forge those connections that, you know, we're used to being kind of the only one when we go into different rooms or within our different corporations or what have you. So it's like, all right, we're all together in one spot. This is like our tribe now. So we can really kind of build with each other. So it's been amazing being a part of some of those organizations. So kudos to you for leading the charge on some of those great events and initiatives.
Thanks. I'm glad I've been part of it.
Yes, for sure. So I want to shift back to you and moving forward, looking into 2021, what are some of your goals, both professionally and personally, in terms of investing in real estate?
Yeah. So, for 2021, I'm going to really be focusing on looking for deals and opportunities that I think are going to be good for our investors. I've for this year with the pandemic, I think it's interesting, you know, underwriting deals, looking at different deals and opportunities. You have to at least for me, I guess I never take off the conservative hat anyway. So I always have that in on. This year, of course, was so different than any other year, and it wasn't the regular type of risk that mm-hmm. you're trying to look at or manage against. It's just a lot of unknowns. You know, I remember listening to it was either a podcast or a webinar, and you know, I think it was put very well that with risk you can quantify it. With unknowns, it's harder to quantify because mm-hmm. you don't know. So I think, you know, you have to just go into it with understanding as much as you can about all the deals that you have presented in front of you. But I still think there will be opportunities for next year. So that's what I'm going to be looking for diligently. Deals that I think will present good opportunities for investors, and, you know, where we can continue to provide clean and safe homes for people to live in. And because it all comes back full circle, you know, having places that people want to live provides the revenue to help to support the property and the people who invested in those deals. So that's very important to me. And then also to continue to look for ways to help continue to educate people about multifamily, about this industry, and, you know, being on podcasts is a way to do that. So again, I'm glad I had this opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. And so what type of deals, I guess, what's your criteria that you're looking for in case, you know, you never know who's listening to this or who may be listening to this in the future as a pipeline for more deals?
So I'm continuing to look in the Atlanta market, but you know, I'm definitely open to looking at deals in other markets in the Southeast, or you know, in Maryland, and you know, areas also that are a little bit closer to New York, just because of it's an interesting, COVID has put another lens on my view into, you know, where to go to invest. And while I still love Atlanta, and I'm very happy that we have, you know, we have a REAP contingent there and a group there, I've been able to leverage a lot of the relationships there for Atlanta. But you know, we're typically targeting deals that are about the 100 unit range, would be willing to look at something a little bit smaller, just depending on the deal. You know, where we usually have been looking at like workforce housing, so those are you know, properties that are in the, you know, C plus or B range in terms of their age. And you know, we're looking for deals that they could either be stable, or looking at, you know, different strategies. I'm open to different strategies, but it really depends on a deal by deal basis. You know, some level of add value is great, so that we can help to improve the value of the property. But I just think that, like I mentioned, just some strategies are probably a little bit more of a stretch in an unknown environment than, you know, in a more stable environment than like what we've had in the past several years.
Right. Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, after this new year, as far as right now, they haven't passed any kind of extension on the rent moratorium. So obviously that's going to come into play with your business. And like you said, a lot of uncertainty moving forward.
Right. Yeah. So it'll be important for us to look at collection rates and how the property is doing with collections, always looking at expenses to see that we're optimizing and minimizing this expenses while still providing very good value. So those are all of the things that we'll continue to look at. And, you know, just looking at and also just being open to looking at new markets and looking at areas that, you know, could also provide good value as well. Definitely open to that.
Okay, awesome. Well, you heard it here. If you have any deals or you're in the commercial real estate space and you think you can add value to Sonya and her team, definitely reach out. So I'm going to shift to the last segment of the show, which is the Fabulous Four. And it's just four questions that I ask every guest. So just whatever comes to your mind off the top, just go for it. So the first question here is, what's your favorite real estate book?
Okay, so I'm going to have to say that the books that really got me started into real estate, and it's probably, you know, most people have probably started this one, was the Rich Dad, Poor Dad book series. It really just clicked for me, the understanding, you know, being self-employed, what does that mean, versus being a business versus being an investor. And also understanding the power of real estate and power of also commercial real estate too. So that way it's a very, you know, easy to digest, in my opinion, book. And it was really what helped to inspire me to want to learn more. And then I'd have to say a couple of other books too are really good for people just to dig in further into multifamily. I really like the Landlord Entrepreneur by Brian M. Chavez. That book can be definitely more dense, but what's really good about it is it gives you some perspective, even if you don't want to be your own property management company. What it does is it is it helps you to understand the different things that you have to understand as a property manager. And then that can help you in selecting a property manager for your team, because that's one of the most critical team members that you're going to have.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm glad that you, because a lot of people said Rich Dad, Poor Dad, but I'm glad that you said the series, because a lot of people don't know that there are other books that he wrote. And one that I really love that's kind of underrated is Cash Flow Quadrant. I love that book.
That's a good one.
Have you read the book Crushing It in Apartments and Multifamily Thing?
No, I haven't. I haven't read it. Another book that I would say is the Real Estate Game. It's by William Porview. And it also was a good overview book too. And it just talks about syndication, development, like different aspects of real estate too. So that's also a good one. But thanks for that pointer that you had.
Yeah, I'm gonna send it because that's definitely a good book, and it gives it from the perspective of somebody that's like brand new and like kind of in the same situation where they're trying to figure out the financing for the first time and everything that can go wrong with their first deal went wrong. So it's awesome.
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right, cool. So what advice would you give to your younger self just getting started out with real estate?
I would just say, get started. You know, it's so hands-on. I think, you know, you can read a lot of books, and you know, and it's great to listen to. It's really, really good, actually, to be able to listen to different people's journeys and to you know, talk with people and understand what they went through. But every experience, every apartment is going to be different, and so you know, you really have to, you know, find a market that you're interested in and start talking to people in that market. And just get hands-on. It's important to get really hands-on. So that is something that I would definitely tell myself, just, you know, just get started. Just, you know, you have to get your hands into it.
Right.
And probably the other thing that I would have told myself is any deal you looked at in 2015 was good. Like, yeah, it was great.
I feel like it's gonna maybe be the case in 2021 as we get, you know, further down the line. It's like so many things available, so anything can make a deal. Cool. All right. Yeah. So what topic in real estate do you personally want to learn more about?
You know, another hot topic that is surfacing right now is, well, I'm definitely interested in prop tech. I love learning about the different technologies that are out there right now that people are trying to come up with, or that have existed and people are trying to further integrate into apartment ownership. I think that commercial real estate especially is very old school thinking. And, you know, I think that the pandemic has pushed on a lot of things, and so it has really, you know, exposed that there have to be other ways to do things, and that you have to expand and think about other ways of doing things. Mm-hmm. And so I like learning more about that space. So I think that's an area that I'd love to continue to learn more about.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And I think just as a whole, the commercial real estate industry kind of lags behind the residential industry in terms of innovation and tech. So this pandemic hopefully will kind of expedite that. And so we'll see some definitely leaps and strides moving forward. So awesome.
Great point. All right. Great point.
So last one is, please give a shout out to another woman that's doing some amazing things in real estate right now.
Yeah, so I would really want to give a shout out to my first mentor and coach in real estate, and that is Dr. Teresa Martin Esquire. She is the leader of the RIA in New York City. She is really incredible because she has such a passion in helping people understand the different aspects and avenues of overall real estate. I remember when I joined the RIA, you know, she's like, Sonia, you got to come up with you have to have a strategy. So what do you want to do? And then she started saying all of these things like fix and flips, buy and hold, notes, all of these different things. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, wow, I don't know what area I'm going to go into. But what she did was just create a platform where you could learn so much. And she continues to, and so that's actually how I got exposure into the multifamily investing group. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, she had them there to speak, and the group doesn't exist, that multifamily group doesn't exist today, but it was perfect for me, because that's when I made that decision I wanted to move into multifamily or explore it more. You know, there was an avenue there. But what she does, which is also really amazing, is she continues to evolve. So the platform that she was using, you know, several years ago, she continues to evolve it to make it more tangible, to make it easier for people to understand and to get in and, you know, help people along their journey. And she's very passionate about that. She's very passionate about also helping women. And, you know, she's just been an amazing mentor and coach. I just think that she's really a great person.
Awesome. Shout out to Dr. Martin. And we always talk about on the show the importance of mentorship, especially with real estate. It's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of different strategies, like you mentioned. So it's good to have that person kind of guide you into, you know, figuring out one, what you want to do. And then once you figure out, kind of helping you go forward with that process.
Right. And sometimes, you know, one thing is, you know, not everybody knows all the answers for everything, but it's mm-hmm. great when you meet people who are like, you know what, why don't you talk to so-and-so? Why right. don't you talk to this other person? And then that helps to expand your network. And then you think of and trying to find ways to help add value to all the people that helped you along the way too.
For sure. Keyword there was add value. Don't be like that one-way mentorship type of situation.
Right.
All right. Well, last but not least, how can people get in touch with you? How can they follow what's going on and just learn more about what you have going on right now?
Yeah. Well, you can certainly reach out to me on LinkedIn. Feel free to do that. You can also reach me directly on my website at Bedrock RE, like real estate, reinvestors.com. Fill out our form. You can be part of our newsletters that we do. And I'm also on Facebook as well.
Okay. And besides, obviously continuing on with your syndication initiatives and what you have going on with Cure, REAP, Diversity in Commercial Real Estate, is there any other events or any other initiatives that you have coming up next year that you want to shed some light on?
Well, I would just say not right now, but I'll say keep a lookout for 2021. I'm excited about 2021, and definitely connect with me, because I think there may be some interesting things coming along the way.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much again, Sonya. This was an amazing conversation. I learned a lot. I'm sure the people listening definitely got a lot of good information. You dropped a lot of gems. So I appreciate all the time that you spent with me today.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me. It's really great speaking with you. And and congratulations on your show.
Thank you. I really appreciate the support and all the other ladies that have been on the show so far. You were a very highly sought after guest, so I had to have you on here. Cool. All right, y'all. This is another episode of the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Washington. Thank you once again for my guest, Sonya Rockfield of Bedrock Real Estate Investors out of New York City, but she primarily invests right now in the Atlanta market in large multifamily apartment complexes. So if you are interested in learning more about that, if you're interested in investing in the Atlantic market or just multifamily real estate in general, she's a great resource. So definitely reach out to her. So thank you again, Sonya. Appreciate
it. And thank you so much.
Yes. See you guys next time.
Take care. Thanks.